your song vibe is a vibe. Because I was listening to it like on heavy rotation over. I mean, it's such a great like chill out party dance. Like anything's pop.
That was the intention. Yeah.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Allison Interviews podcast. Today's interview, I am so excited about. It is with Skip Marley. Now, I first heard Skip Marley on the radio a few years back when he was featured on a song called Chain to the Rhythm with Katy Perry. And I was like, who is this guy, Skip Marley? Like, obviously, I knew he was part of the Marley family, but I wanted to kind of do a deep dive and see what was going on and what he was about. And in the interim, I actually started studying his grandfather, Bob Marley, and realizing the genius of Bob Marley. And then that brought me down this rabbit hole and I started looking at just the legacy of the whole Marley family and looking into some of Skip's uncles like Ziggy Marley and Julian Marley and Stephen Marley. And there's a whole bunch of Marleys. And then I was looking into Sadella Marley, which is one of Bob Marley and Rita Marley's daughter. And Skip Marley is actually the son of Sadella. And he is such a talented musician, such a talented singer-songwriter. He's only 25 years old. And get this, Skip Marley's music has been streamed 417 million times worldwide. I have to tell you, so here's the deal. If you haven't heard Skip Marley's music, here's what I recommend. Go to Spotify, Apple, wherever you stream your music, and I want you to listen to, first of all, his latest single, Vibe, is just the most awesome feel-good song. So you have to listen to Vibe. And then you have to listen to his one of his earlier songs, Lions, and then Higher Place, featuring his grandfather, Bob Marley. Then my number one favorite song of Skip's is a song called That's Not True, which features Skip's uncle, Damian Marley. It has social messages that are so reminiscent of Skip's grandfather, but it also just has such an incredible beat. And listening to Skip and Damian vibe off each other in that song is awesome. And then, of course, Slow Down featuring her. Just absolutely great music. You will be hooked. Like, I'm not even kidding. You will be fangirling or fanboying or whatever the deal is. You know, you will absolutely be hooked on Skip Marley's music. I can promise you that. It's reggae, but it's pop and it's dance and it's conscious and it's spiritual and it's philosophical and it's fun. I mean, it's just so many different things. So with that being said, Skip is actually embarking on his first headlining solo U.S. tour, because he has been on tour with his family in the past, but this is his first solo headlining U.S. tour. He's going to be hitting 20 cities starting March 20th and going through, I believe, April 27th. So if you want more information, you can visit skipmarley.com or you can go to @skipmarley on Instagram. And in the meantime, sit back, relax, and listen to this super cool interview with Skip Marley. I'm not cool enough. Like, just so you know, I wasn't cool enough for this interview, but I did my best. I held my own. I think you'll have to let me know in the comments and the reviews if I held my own. I'm really not sure, because like, he's a millennial or Generation Z or whatever. I'm a Gen Xer. But I tried, people. Okay. I tried. Yeah. He thought I was cool. Like, he thought the interview was fun. So that's all I need. I'm good to go with that. So anyway, enjoy this interview with Skip Marley.
I know you were born in Jamaica. When did you move to the States?
I think officially when I was like 5 years old, but we were always back and forth, and I was always on tour. So,
okay,
yeah.
So when you came here as like a preschooler, I guess, do you have any memories of what it was like to acclimate to living here, or were you so young that it really?
I was young. Yeah, I was still a kid, so it wasn't really anything to, you know.
Yeah. So tell me, I know you're young. What are you, 25?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So what are three pivotal life events that have made you the person you are so far at this point?
Okay. Well, I'd say the first, when I was born. The second.
That's important.
2005 at my grandfather's celebration concert in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. That was okay. The first time I seen a million or more people come out and, you know, celebrate my grandfather's music and the message and, you know, the reason we do what we do. So when, even at that age, it touched me, like, you know, I began to have a more of an understanding, you know, of the significance.
Of who he was.
Right.
Yeah. And
fact, you know, firsthand. Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yes.
And the third thing?
The third one. Probably when my Uncle Stephen brought me on the stage, because that really gave me the push that I needed in music. That was my first shot. I was 13 years old, I think.
Okay. Did he bring you up there just to kind of be up there, or did he bring you up there to sing?
He brought me up there to sing. I sang One Love, and that was the first time I sang, really. So threw me in the water, kind of like, you know, music chose me, as I say. Like,
when you were growing up, was there ever a thought of maybe I might do something other than music, or was it just always like, this is my destiny?
For sure. You know, I always loved the music. I was always involved in music from when I was very young, you know, piano lessons, guitar lessons, things of that nature. But yeah, I was more into sports, you know, but it was really like, after that whole moment when my Uncle Steve brought me onto the stage, it was like, yeah, you know, this music thing, I think it chose me. I think it's for me. So,
wow. Yeah. What does it feel like to carry the name Marley? Does it feel like a tremendous responsibility?
It's an honor and it's a responsibility, because I have a duty, you know. I feel I have a duty as next generation Marley, you know, to keep on, you know, this legacy we built and, you know, keep moving forward and, you know, just taking it to the world, like, you know. So I feel like I have a responsibility to, but it's not a dark pressure. People always ask me that, is it like a, you know, no, cause what we do is like a light, like, you know, the words that we speak, like, you know, it does a lot for people, you know. And for me, when I first started, from my song effects, one person, you know, has done its job to me. Like,
yes, I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, you're doing pretty well. So I have some information here. Your song Slow Down had, what is it, over 185 million global streams.
Wow.
I mean, that, and so, well, I'm sure you know that.
Yeah, you know, I don't really check those things too much, you know? Yeah, but wow.
All right, well, I checked it. And what it says is that it was the biggest streaming song in Marley family history.
Wow. That's, yeah, I was aware of that part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what did your uncles and what did your mom say to you when they heard that?
I mean, you know, I'm just proud for me, but it's not for me, it's we, like, you know, from I'm up there, I'm representing them, you know what I mean? I represent them. So for me, it's a family victory, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's not really about,
you know,
me.
What's interesting is that somebody, I wasn't all that, I mean, obviously I knew who your grandfather Bob Marley was. But it wasn't until a few years ago that a friend of mine said to me, he's like, you know, I really admire that family because they understand the value of how the collective is more important than one person.
Yes.
They understand what it is to serve something greater than like each individual. And
right. Come on, it's like we all strive together, you know what I mean? We might not all sing, we might not all do what, you know, but we all have our own lanes for us to go and, you know, yeah, man. It wasn't forced on me, like, you know, music, you had to choose. You had to pursue that for yourself. You know, it wasn't like, you're going to make music, you know. No, my life was school. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So in school, were you like an A student?
No, but I used to be in school and I'd always think of music. Like, as I got to like, through junior high school to high school, I was always just thinking of music, as to where even after school, I would have 3 hours of music, 4 hours of music, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I started just doing that and, you know, just, it's like I had a drive, like, you know, I'm like, let's learn as much as I can, and, you know,
So let me ask you this then. How do you feel about practice? Because I know I heard that it takes 10,000 hours to master anything that you want to do, right? Are you the type of person who would be able to like practice for hours?
If you love something, you're not going to give up. If you have a passion for something, if you're driven towards something, you know, whatever it is, you know, you're not going to give up if you really love it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So absolutely.
I've had countless hours and hours, and my mom had to come and be like, yo, that's enough nights for now. Like, you know, that's enough. Like, you know, yeah, man. I have such great examples, you know, of hard work and discipline and dedication. You know? So, yeah, from very young, it was instilled in me that kind of ethic, you know, and now to where I am now, like, you know, it's taking me to where I am, man, further and further, you know what I mean? So, yeah, trust me.
I know that you're really close with your mom, Sadella. What is the best advice that she's ever given you?
Work harder than everyone. Nothing going to be given to you. Perfect practice makes perfect. You know what I mean? You have to believe, and I said, you have to work for it. You know, nothing will be given to you. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, every day, she's just a living example, like, you know, every day.
Okay.
Every day. Yeah, just her. Herself is an example for me, you know? Yeah.
And how much do you, I know that your Uncle Ziggy played, I think he, is he the head of your grandfather's estate?
Yeah, I think we're all like, you know, my grandmother and my mother and my Uncle Ziggy, and, you know, they all work together.
Do you guys have like family meetings where you decide, okay, we're going to license?
Yeah, man. For sure. Always. There's always family meetings. If it's not in person, it's Zooms or whatever, you know? Yeah.
When was the last time you were in Jamaica?
I think that was 2 years ago. COVID and everything. I haven't been there. So, yeah, last time I was there was for the Jamrock. Welcome to Jamrock Reggae Cruise, which is like, you know, concert on the water. So my uncles put that on. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, man. So that was my last time there.
Tell me, how did COVID and the whole pandemic and everything that's gone on, how did it transform you as a person?
I would say this made me focus, man. Made me more disciplined. You know, you have more time to really think things out. Kind of. You know what I mean? It just gave me time to work on myself and work on my music and, you know, work on my mind and, you know, things like that. It was a fitness, like, 6 days a week, workouts. So that's been my thing from COVID.
Oh, workouts, exercising.
Yeah, 6 days a week. Yeah.
Okay. One of my favorite songs of yours actually is That's Not True with your Uncle Damien. How did that collaboration come together?
Well, I had a couple of songs and I brought it to my uncle because I would like, you know, I would love to have him on the song. You know? Mm-hmm. He went through a couple of them and he was like, I'm like, this one, that's not true. You know, he liked it. So we took it from there and we just built the song. And then a couple of nights later, it is what it is. You know what I mean?
Well, who wrote it?
Me, my Uncle D, and a guy called Chai the Prince.
Okay. Yeah. Do you like putting social messages in music? Is that something that you...
For sure, because the music is a message, you know, music is a vehicle, you know? Music is a tool, you know, music is used to unify people and spread messages of positive and consciousness and upliftment. So for me personally, you know, I think we should use the music as a benefit, you know? So we try to spread messages of love, you know, equality, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, freedom, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, so all these things really, for me, is important, you know? And I try and always, you know, make sure the music speaks, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, make sure it speaks.
Yeah.
Where do you place material things, like material goods, material wealth, on your, I guess, your like your hierarchy of priorities?
That's not my priority. My priority is my family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my family is my... main priority, my first priority. So for me, the possessions is not. I can have nothing as long as my family have something. And that's not how I am personally.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I would and that's why that song really speaks to me. Yeah. By the way.
Wow.
I don't understand like people's obsession with handbags, shoes, clothes, jewelry, all of that stuff.
Yeah, those things is only for a while, you know, it's momentary. It don't really have no use. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah, so.
Exactly.
You know, each their own, so, you know. I'm not out here telling people how to live or whatever, but, you know.
Yeah.
If you want more of that kind of living, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Which is and a- your song Vibe is a vibe. Because I was Thank listening you. To it, like, on heavy rotation over, I mean, it's such a great, like, chill out, party, dance, like anything song.
That was the intention. Yeah, that was the intention. So I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, how did that song come together?
Yeah, you know, during this whole COVID time, I was like, yeah, people just want to free up and feel good and, you know, be with each other and dance. And, you know, all the things we're missing, that human experience, the connection, you know, the good vibes. So, you know, that's how my sister says, she want to catch a vibe. She want to spend some time into the light, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just kind of a light-hearted, you know, party kind of song, you know. And then Popcorn, you know, was the perfect.
Yeah.
So, you know, just went hand in hand. You know what I mean?
He was the producer?
No, Popcorn was the other artist featured on it.
Okay.
It was the Jamaican, yeah.
That's my favorite line in the song is "Face it, she don't want nothing basic." That really speaks to my soul.
Yeah, well, that is the reality. You know, as time goes on, you know, she realizes.
What'd you say?
As time goes on, she realizes, you know, yeah, she don't want nothing. She wants something worth her time, you know.
Yes. So the first time I ever heard you on the radio was in Chained to the Rhythm with Katy Perry.
Right.
How did that happen?
Well, it's a funny story. So at the time, that was like 2017, 2016, that whole time, I was actually working with the whole MXM camp, which is Max Martin and all those guys, top producers. And he was playing my song, Lions, in his studio, right? He was playing my song and she walked in. And she was like, "Who is that?" And he's like, "Oh, that's Skip Marley." And she's like, "I need him on my next single." So he that's calls awesome. Me. He calls me. Literally, he called me and said, "Hey, Katy Perry needs you." I said, "Katy Perry?" Word. I said, "All right." He's like, "Yeah, boom." So next week, Cali did my verse. And then she came in the studio, like, right when I was finished. So, like, I met her. First time then, so, you know, yeah, and then everything took off from there. Grammys, Brits, IHeart, you know what I mean? And it was all a beautiful journey, and I'm glad that, you know, Katy reached out to me, and I got to spread the message to such a platform, an audience, you know what I mean?
So, yeah,
that's sure. Really important. So, yeah.
When your grandfather was alive, he was so passionate about the islands of Jamaica, but there came a point where it was dangerous for him to stay there for political reasons. There were people that wanted to take his life, and he had to relocate, I think, what was it, to the UK, where he lived at the end of his life. Does your family, are there still safety issues connected to Jamaica for your family, or is that something that's long in the past?
Yeah, that's in the past, but, you know, security for surety, always, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
Jamaica is our home, you know? Yeah. Place where we love, you know, and we take care of, so, you know? That is also a part of my responsibility as next generation, you know?
Yeah. And 56 Hope Drive, which was his home, is that now a museum?
Hope Road, yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's a museum now, yes. It's his home, yeah, and a museum, so. If you haven't gone, I would suggest it heavily, you know, whenever you're in Jamaica to go visit Hope Road and, you know.
Well, my son is half Jamaican, so I wanted to go there. Yeah.
Nice. Well, then it'll be perfect for him then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I really want to take him.
Nice. Yeah, man, that would be nice. Yeah,
what do you want people to know about Jamaica, about, like, the beauty and the culture of the land?
a very spiritual place. You know, they're very loving people. And you know what I mean? It's a very beautiful place. You know, nowhere else feels like Jamaica. You know, the people speak for it. The music speaks for it. You know, everything. And you can see how the world gravitates towards it because there's an energy there. You know, yeah, it's almost like a spiritual. It just moves you. You know. Yeah, wow. So that's what I would say about Jamaica. You know, whenever I'm always there, you know, it's like a connection for me personally, like, you know.
Are you close with your grandmother?
Yeah, man, I'm very close to my grandmother. Very, very, very close. Very close.
What have you learned from her, either by example or through words?
Yeah, all the odds are against you. Don't give up. When all the odds, when the whole world turn against you, my grandmother never give up, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah, my grandmother built Tuff Gong to where it is now. My grandfather's, you know, to where it is now. So, right. And her humanitarian efforts as well, you know what I mean? I also, she's also a doctor as well. So, you know what I mean? I have a lot to aspire to and a lot to look up to in that kind of sense. You know, she's
a medical doctor?
Yeah. Doctor, her name is Dr. Alfarita Marley.
But I mean, is she a medical doctor or does she have a doctorate degree?
She's a doctorate degree.
Doctorate degree. What is her degree in?
You know, I don't know exactly. But I can find out.
That's interesting. Okay, yeah, I'm going to look that up.
She's actually a doctor. Years ago. So I don't know from, but yeah, man, so she's my example, like my mother too, like they're both my examples in that kind of sense of the work ethic, you know, and that discipline and, you know, that selflessness where it's like, you know, rare nowadays, the selflessness, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's very important.
Would you say that they have shaped the way that you view and relate to women?
Everything, for sure. Okay.
Firstly, I want to thank Athletic Greens for sponsoring this podcast. Athletic Greens has a product called AG1 that I have been using literally every morning. When I start my morning with AG1 drink first thing before my coffee or my morning smoothie, it's a whole different ballgame. So I wake up in the morning. As soon as I get down to the kitchen, I put in a scoop of AG1 into my water. I stir it up. I drink it down. It's a few seconds out of my morning and I just feel so much more energetic than I did before. I get 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced ingredients, probiotics, and adaptogens all in one drink. I feel like I'm starting my day on the right foot, and it's a good feeling to know that you're starting your day by being kind to yourself. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. It's recommended by professional athletes, and I respect their company values. Athletic Greens is a climate-neutral certified company. They also stay on the cutting edge of nutritional research, which is super important to me. AG1 is the single greatest thing you can do for your body in under 60 seconds. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/AllisonInterviews. Again, it's athleticgreens.com/AllisonInterviews to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Firstly, I want to thank Athletic Greens for sponsoring this podcast. Athletic Greens has a product called AG1 that I have been using literally every morning. When I start my morning with AG1 drink first thing before my coffee or my morning smoothie, it's a whole different ballgame. So I wake up in the morning. As soon as I get down to the kitchen, I put in a scoop of AG1 into my water. I stir it up. I drink it down. It's a few seconds out of my morning and I just feel so much more energetic than I did before. I get 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food sourced ingredients, probiotics, and adaptogens all in one drink. I feel like I'm starting my day on the right foot, and it's a good feeling to know that you're starting your day by being kind to yourself. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. It's recommended by professional athletes, and I respect their company values. Athletic Greens is a climate-neutral certified company. They also stay on the cutting edge of nutritional research, which is super important to me. AG1 run is the single greatest thing you can do for your body in under 60 seconds. And to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/AllisonInterviews. Again, it's athleticgreens.com/AllisonInterviews to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
So 2022, this is your first U.S. tour?
First solo U.S. tour, when I'm headlining.
First solo U.S. tour. Okay, yeah, so yeah. You toured with your family?
Yeah, I've toured with my uncles, yeah.
Okay. Why 2022, and how do you feel about it?
I feel great, you know, I feel excited. I mean, why 2022? Why not? I mean, it's been, what, 2 years? 2 years. I was already supposed to tour 2 years ago, you know what I'm saying? So no,
yes.
You know,
yes.
It's been a long time coming, you know what I mean? So mm-hmm. Yeah, looking forward to taking, you know, the message to the people and the music on the road. So, you know?
Yeah. And do you have anybody opening for you?
I'm still figuring that out.
Oh, okay.
Right, yeah, still.
So there's a job opening for somebody out there.
Somebody. Somebody. Yeah, I need to figure that out.
What'd you say?
No, I'm just still figuring that out. So.
Your accent and your energy is like, it's like, I feel like my blood pressure is lowering as I speak.
That's a good thing. Love. Yeah, love, you know, love is the key.
Yeah. I can't be a typical high-strung American around you. That's no good.
You just have to be what you are, you know, because what is what is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the tour is called Change.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Yeah, you know, help to make a change in this world so we can see it's not impossible. I'm possible. You're free to do whatever you want to do. Free to be whatever you want to be. So, you know, people, you know, the whole reason, the whole concept behind the album changed, the whole name of the tour and everything. It's just, you know, people waiting on things to change when people can be the change what they want to see. You know?
Yeah. Are you a spiritual guy? Are you spiritual?
Sure. I think I'm a spiritual naturally. I'm spiritually from ever since. Ever since. I've always just been spiritual. I feel like it has a lot to do with my family as well, you know, as even to when I was growing up, I used to just study my grandfather a lot. Opened up my mind from a young age. So very beneficial. You can't have one without the other, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you have spiritual, you have mental growth and spiritual growth, you know what I mean? It's hand in hand, physical growth, you know what I mean? Yeah, you can't leave one. You need balance, you know, it's like yin and yang, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
So what do you believe in? Do you subscribe to a religion, or is it more just
a way of life? It's a way of life of living, you know? God is within, you know, God is all around us, you know what I mean?
And
God
is,
you know what I mean? So it's all, where there's light, there's hope, you know what I'm saying? So especially in these times now, you know, there's a lot of everybody against everybody, and you know, that's not what we need. That's not what we want, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But all that's doing is that's causing more headaches and suffering and, you know, all these things. So how about we make a change as the people, you know? How about we decide, you know? Cause it's really the people change time. You know, it's not some guy telling you he's going to do something for you. You know what I mean? It's really the people.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
So it's for everybody, you know this and have that power in themselves too, to know, like, you know, yeah, it's within yourself, you know, yeah, is where the kingdom, you know, be. So.
If you could have a conversation with your grandfather and ask him anything, what would you like to ask him?
I just ask him which books to read.
Really? Okay.
I'd have a lot of questions, but I would love to hear what kind of books him read too.
Do you know what some of his favorite books were when he was alive?
I mean, the Bible. Yeah, there's some books about His Imperial Majesty, the Wise Mind of His Imperial Majesty and things like that. But and definitely a lot of African books, Art of War books and things like that. But yeah, I would love to, you know, yeah, just insight, some more insight, of course, you know. There's a lot of things I would love to, you know. That's the thing that came off my top. So I was like, yeah, you know,
Do you believe in time travel?
Time travel?
Do you believe it's possible?
No, not right now.
No, okay. I'm the only, I guess I'm...
Why? What do you think? What do you think? You think so time travel is real? I'm not gonna put you down.
I have this weird obsession with the concept of time travel. I don't know why, but I feel like time kind of, sometimes I feel like time is speeding up. Sometimes I feel like it's slowing down. Sometimes things that happened 20 years ago, it feels like they happened yesterday. Sometimes something that happened last week feels like it was a year ago. And so I'm like, well, that's strange.
True. I relate to that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't think time is what we think it is.
It's forever. You know what I mean?
Time.
What do you think? Is a circle? What do you think it is?
I don't know. I think when I was 10 years old, I saw the movie Back to the Future. And ever since then, I've just been obsessed. Yeah, I'm like, I gotta I gotta get into this.
I know what you mean. Hey, listen, you know, we only know what we know right now. So who knows? But
I guess I believe in things that we can't perceive with our five senses.
You believe in things that you can't see, you know?
Yeah, I believe in things that you can't see.
People will call you crazy for, or label you this and that for, or whatever. Yeah.
I believe that.
To be what we want to be.
Because I feel like you can believe in your imagination more than you can believe in what you see with your eyes. Does that make any sense?
That is true. Because it's like a power of belief.
The power of belief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Jump in the fire and never get burned. You know? Me drag and bed they go. In the fire and never get burned. You know? It's like you walk by faith. You know, you walk by what is sight. You know?
Then right. Walk, And what do you think you came into this life as Skip Marley to learn? And what do you think you came here to teach?
Yeah, well, what I came to learn is purpose. Well, once you find your purpose, you know, like for me personally, it's just to spread love and these messages where it's just within me, you know, from the connection of, you know, my grandfather to my mother to me now. It's just, you know, I feel there's a responsibility, and, you know, these words and messages need to be spoken and things need to be said. So, you know what I mean? Yeah, God, I would say I'm this jazz soldier, you know, I'm this God soldier, I'm the music warrior, you know, it's come to fight with music. You know, we'll come for take on the world with music, you know, we'll come shake the world with music. So that's really my thing, you know, music and the consciousness and, you know, the collective community, you know, of mankind, and, you know, restoring that kind of, you know, yeah, connection. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Have you ever been approached by hip-hop artists to collaborate with them at all, when they wanted to, like, incorporate reggae music into what they're doing?
A few, not too many, but a few.
Who's approached you and said, hey, would you be featured on my track, or would you come into the studio and see what we can do together?
But also, I don't know if you know Stoneboy. He's an African artist. He's not really an American rapper, but he's like an African rapper.
Okay.
He's the most recent guy where they approached me in the DMs. I mean, they actually have a song coming out now, so as of late.
Are you open to mixing, like mixing genres?
Sure. My thing, music is not a box to me. Like, I always feel like my music is, you know, it's just music. It is what it is. It can be any type. It can have any kind of influence, you know, or inspiration. Doesn't have to strictly be one thing, you know. Like for me, for instance, it's like reggae music is the foundation of what I would build, you know, the building off. So it's like I can have, you know, a blues funky piece, I can have a jazz, you know, rock piece, mm-hmm. I can have a, you know what I mean, hip hop calypso, I can have a soca reggaeton beat, I can have this, that, I can have, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my thing is just free. So I'm open to this music in general, as long as the content, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's really about the content, you know.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
See myself making more music, touring the world, keep doing what I'm doing, you know, but only God knows still, you know. So I don't really even think about that too much, you know. I really focus on the now. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you're writing lyrics, do you ever feel like you have to hold back in terms of certain like social or political messages, or do you feel unrestrained, like you could just write whatever you feel that you want
to
write?
Whatever comes, whatever inspiration comes to me, I always try and let it be. Whatever inspiration comes to me, I let it be. You know, not saying there's been times where I've had to go back a few times and adjust things. Yeah.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. It's like, to me, you know, I don't really try and sit down. I try and feel what the music is saying. You know, I don't really try and sit down and think too much. Try and feel it. Because music talk to you, you know, if you listen, you know, it can talk to you. So it's almost like you kind of hear, you know, what the music wants from you, like, in a sense.
Yeah. So what, like, when you say that, what's your creative process? Are you, like...
Well, it depends. Like, you see me, you know, since I play music too, you know, I produce my own stuff too as well, you know, as right. So it's like, for me, a lot of times it starts with me on guitar or piano or bass or wherever I am humming a thing, or if I hear a words in my head, or if I have an idea, I'll just, you know, start it from mm-hmm. there, and then just slowly build and build, you know, just get a couple of chords progressions and, you know, slowly just build till where I have, you know, chorus or hook or a verse, whatever it is first, whatever the words, you know, I just follow it. You know, I just follow, I just go with the feeling, you know, follow the flow, you know what I'm saying, with the music. Yeah, I don't really try to overthink it too much. You know what I mean?
And where do you stand on substances? Like, do you ever use marijuana as a like creative conduit, or are you more of a sober person?
Yeah, herb opens up, you know, inspirations, opens up, you know, higher heights, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For sure, herb is beneficial, you know what I mean? Not saying you have to use it, but I don't see why, you know, you don't have to smoke it, you know, mm-hmm. you can't eat it. You know, drink
right.
it, boil it, you know what I'm saying? Kind of apply it as lotion, you know what I mean? That's
right.
So many benefits, you know what I mean? So I don't see why not, you know? And I'm glad to say, you know, America is slowly taking those steps forward, you know,
mm-hmm.
in terms of the plant. Because the plant can save the place, you know? Yeah, so the more the merrier.
Tell me about when you're on tour, how is the show going to go? Do you have a band that you're working with?
Yeah, I have a band. So it's like a 5-6-piece band.
Okay.
It's like an hour and a half set.
Uh-huh.
Playing my songs, some new songs, some unheard songs.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
My grandfather's songs, of course. You know what I mean? It's a little
Right. Epic.
So, you know, people really full joy themselves and, you know, have a good time, catch a good vibes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of show them about, you know? Yeah, you want them moving, you know? You want the people feeling something, you know?
Right.
Spiritual food, you know? Music is food, you know? You have to be careful what you ingest nowadays, you know? Yeah.
You are seriously, like, you effortlessly drop gems. I can tell that you're a thinker, and I love that.
Well, thank you.
No, I'm serious. I really love, and it's so true. You have to watch what you listen to, like what your eyes see, what your ears hear, like what you take in. It's not just the food.
Everything. Mm-hmm. Subconsciously, you know, you have to, you know, be aware of things where you're doing. You know, trust me, it's the temple. You know, yeah. So
then lastly, before I let you go, I just want to, since you brought that up, what kind of like diet do you adhere to? Are you a plant-based person? Or
yeah,
you-
I'm, well, tell you what, if I've been pescatarian, mm-hmm. you know, for a while, and you know, I just eat like fruits, veggies, and fish, and sometimes I'll eat a piece of chicken, but more time, I just eat like fish and veggies and fruits, clean eating, you know, natural eating. I don't really drink no sugary drinks, none of that kind of, you know, stuff. Yeah. Make my own drinks, make my own juices, you know, make my own food. I mean,
any sweet tooth at all, or no, no sugar?
Sometimes when you smoke, sometimes you get a little sweet tooth. So, you know,
all right,
nothing really, you know, too bad. I would eat something sweet, but I'm not like a guy who crave, like, you know, I need something sweet. You know what I mean? But
are you a guy who believes in monogamy and marriage, or do you think that that's old hat, or like, what is your take on that?
Well, tell you the truth, I think marriage is still there, you know, if it's really real. It doesn't have to be real nowadays. Kind of nowadays, everything is so wishy-washy and kind of, you know, but if you... If you guys is real, if it's really real, then marriage mm-hmm. is great, you know, and it's a godly thing, you know what I mean? But, you know, as of right now, me personally, I don't even know about marriage right now, you know?
Okay. No, I just wanted to know how you see the world.
How I approach, I mean, like, marriage is good. Marriage is a godly thing, you know, it's supposed to be a godly connection, you know? So,
yeah.
Right. So, you know, that in itself speaks, you know, for itself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think?
Me? Well, oh man, I would be a lousy person to interview. I don't know. I think that up until this point in my life, and I'm 47, so up until this point in my life, I have not taken that leap, although I've had very long relationships. But I think that if I ever did feel that type of connection with somebody, I would love to, because life is all about risks, right? You're never going to be 100% sure about anything that you do in life. Right. So I think if I really felt that deep of a connection now at this point in my life, I would do it, because no risk, no reward. You know, it's like having kids. You're never ready to have kids. You're never ready to go on tour. You're never ready to move. You're never, you know, like, you're never ready to do anything. But that's the beauty of life, is that sometimes you just have to close your eyes and jump, I think.
Yeah, just stay ready.
Yeah, I mean, so I won't be jumping out of an airplane anytime soon, but I would get married.
Hey, you know, well, yeah, you see. That was a great explanation, you know, and that lines up to what I'm saying. You know, if it's real, you know, then why not?
You
know?
Then you give it a go.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
But me right now, I don't know about marriage right now.
Yeah, no, you're young. You're a baby. And you're doing awesome. Like, I honestly, your music is, it gives me the chills, because I feel like, and all of your family, you guys are like such a talented family.
Thank you.
Of the music is incredible, but I feel like your music really feels, I mean, it's cheesy, but like, it almost feels like a second coming of your grandfather. His spirit is in you, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yes, I understand that. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, so it's your music is really beautiful, and it's diverse, and you know, some of it just makes you feel good, some of it makes you think, you know, and that's a beautiful thing.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad that you appreciate it. You know, I'm glad that you know.
Yeah, very much so, and that's why I wanted to talk to you. I said, wow, it's like, this young man is so talented.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate.
And I really appreciate your time. I want to thank you for this interview.
Likewise, I had a good time.
Yeah, and I wish you the best of luck with the tour, for sure. And actually, I think, because I'm in Florida too, maybe so if you're coming to Fort Lauderdale, right?
Yes, April 7th, I believe, or 8th.
Okay, so then I want to go see that show, for sure.
All right, we'll make it happen.
All right?
All right.
All right, thank you, Skip. It was a pleasure.
Likewise.
So what did you guys think? Okay, so... sitting with him for 45 minutes, And I said this to him, and it's so true. I was like, I literally feel my blood pressure going down. I mean, I actually have low blood pressure, so maybe that's not a good thing. But he just put me in such a beautiful Zen space. You know, his energy, his presence. And even though we were on Zoom, his energy came through the video. And that's one thing I'm noticing about my interviews. Even though I've been doing them lately on Zoom, I swear to you, you can feel somebody's energetic vibe through the computer when you're speaking face to face. You truly, truly can. And his energy was just absolutely beautiful. And like I told him, it was so reminiscent of his grandfather, Bob Marley. I mean, there really are some uncanny similarities, and he's so talented, Skip. So I hope you enjoyed this interview. Leave me a review, leave me a comment, subscribe. And again, you can visit skipmarley.com to find out about his 20-city U.S. tour starting March 20th, going through April 27th. Find out if he's coming to a city near you. I think in addition to cities around the U.S., I believe he's coming to Toronto also. But check it out, and you can also check him out on Instagram @skipmarley. All right, I will catch you guys on the next go-around. Peace.